Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Megillah Daf Ches. We are holding on Daf Zayinim Beis at the last mission on the page on Daf Zayinim Beis. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored L'zuchus R'fur Shlema for Rachel Bas Eltika Sara Chaya Shishlav R'fur Shlema B'soch Shar Chole Yisrael. And we thank both of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we are once again holding within all of the Ein Bein Mishnai. So we're going to be jumping all around Shas into Seder Taharos into all over the place in discussing the only common theme between these Mishnayos is that they all list the differences between two things that are otherwise similar to each other. So first we're going to have the Ein Bein Shabbos and Yom HaKippurim, what the differences are between the halachos of Shabbos and Yom HaKippurim. Then we're going to discuss the difference between taking a neder from your friend entirely versus only taking a neder of ma'achol mimenu, that you're not going to be able to eat from him, because after all, anything could be turned into food. If he gives you money, you could turn that into food also. So what exactly is included in one neder and not the other? Then we're going to discuss the difference between neder and nedavos. Then the following mission is going to discuss the difference between a person who becomes a zav, who had shtei re'ios of ziva, versus a zav who has shalosh re'ios of ziva. Not a zava, a zava. It's the vast differences between when a woman has two re'ios and three re'ios, but by a man, by a zav, it's fewer differences between a man who has two re'ios and three re'ios of ziva. And then on Amud Beis, we can get into some of the complicated dinim of tzara'as and what the difference is between a mitzora muskar and a mitzora muchlat. So that's going to take us a while just to even get through the background of what all of that means. And then at the very end of the daf, there's a mishnah that describes the differences in halachos between svarim and tefillin and mezuzos, that sifrei Tanakh versus the rules of tefillin and mezuzos in terms of the writing of the svarim. So let's begin again on daf zayin amud beis. We are at the last mishnah on the page on daf zayin amud beis. Ein bein Shabbos Yom Kippur el shezes dono b'dei adam v'zes dono b'kares. That the difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur is that if a person does malachos on Shabbos, b'mezid he's chayv misas beis din. The pasuk says kol ha'osa malachav yom Shabbos most you must. That's in beis din. Whereas zes dono b'kares, if a person does malach on Yom Kippurim b'mezid, he's going to be chayv only misa of kares, misa b'dei shemayim. It says kol nevesh shatasa kol malachav betzam yom zeva vadti esed nevashim b'kerav ama. That Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to take care of that one. So that's the Mishnah. Now, in order to understand the Gemara, it's important to recall the din that the entire third parak of Maseches Ksubos is about, and that is the din of Kamle Bidraba Mine. That if a person does does one Avera for which he incurs two punishments, he only gets the worst of the two punishments. The case that the Torah has where it describes this is that v'chiyinatzu anashim v'nakfu ishar of yatzu yiladeha v'lo yason anoshi anesh. If two people are fighting and they accidentally strike a woman and the woman loses her pregnancy and there is no ason, no one dies, so anoshi anesh, you have to pay for the pregnancy. Chazal, the Mishnah, the third paragraph of Ksubas derived from this pasuk that only imlo yason, that you didn't kill the woman, then you're going to have to pay the money for the Demei Havlad. But if you accidentally kill the woman, then you're not chayiv in tashlumin of the Demei Havlad, because anyone who's mischayiv b'nafsho is pater min tashlumin. If at the same time you did something for which you're chayiv misa, then you're not going to be chayiv to pay. So according to the Chachamim, that din is only if you're mischayiv b'nafsho in the misas beis din. But if you're mischayiv b'nafsho to shemayim, that's not going to be enough to exempt you from a monetary payment. Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, however, disagrees, and he holds that even if you're chayiv kares, which is taken care of by the Ribono Shel Olam, it's not something that's taken care of by Beis and Shalmata, still that's enough to exempt you from Tashlum. And so says the Gemara, we said that Shabbos and Yom Kippur have all the same dinim, except for whether Zez Dono Bidei Adam, Zez Dono Vashemayim, Halin Yom Tashlum, and Zev Zez Shavin. It makes it sound like if you did a malacha on Shabbos or Yom Kippur b'mezid and at the same time incurred a financial penalty, that you're going to be pater on either one, even by Yom Kippur, where the chiyuv is a kares, the chiyuv is the chiyuv of misa is only l'shamayim, it's not b'dei adam. Still, it sounds like it's going to be enough to exempt you from a monetary payment. So, Mani Masnisin, who's the author of our Mishnah, that seems to be assuming that even a chiyuv kares lets you off the hook for dinei mamonos, Rabbi Nechunya ben Akani, that must be the sheet of Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, the Tanya, Rabbi Nachman ben Akana, also Yom Kippur and Shabbos, Letashlumin. Rabbi Nachman ben Akana equated Yom Kippur and Shabbos as far as having to pay money. Mas Shabbos, just like when it comes to Shabbos, if you have a chiv skila and a chiv mammon at the same time, mischayv ben afshel patim ben letashlumin, by virtue of the fact that you have the chiv skila, you're exempt from having to pay any money. So if Yom Kippur mischayv ben afshel patim ben letashlumin. So too, when it comes to Yom Kippur, by virtue of the fact that you're chayv kares, you're not going to have to pay any money, that any monetary obligation that was incurred simultaneous to the chiyuv kares. Tananas, and we have a Mishnah. Kol chayav ikrisal shalaku niftar midei krisasan. Happens to be a halacha that any chayav ikrisals that violate a law that for which they should be chayav kares, but before they did the avera, someone gave them hasra'a for malchus, and then they got malchus for it. Now they're putter from the kares. Now they're not going to have to be chayiv kares anymore if they did tshuva. Shenamar, because the pasuk says, when it talks about the chiv of malchus, it says v'nikla achicha le'enecha. So the first half of the pasuk is arba'im yakenu. You give a guy 40 malchus. Lo Yosef pen Yosef lakosu alele makar rabbi. You're not allowed to give him more than 40 malchus. And it says v'nikla achicha le'enecha. So we darshan. What does that mean? Kivon shelacha. Once you've already given him the malchus, hareyu kachicha. He goes back to being a regular person who's potter from kares. Div Rabbi Chanani ben Gamliel. That's the sheet of Rabbi Chanani ben Gamliel. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says this sheet that someone who's chayiv kares who gets malchus is going to be potter from his kares. Chalukim lav chaver v'al Rabbi Chanani ben Gamliel. The other Tanaim disagree with Rabbi Chanani ben Gamliel about that issue. So Amar Rava, Amri Be Rav. So Rava says that they wondered in the Beis Medrash about Rabbi Yochanan's comment that he says that that the other Tanaim disagree with Rabbi Chanani ben Gamliel. Tanina, we already know this from a Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us Ein Bein Yom Kippurim LeShabbos Elish. It says Dona B'De'adam. It says Dona B'Kares. It's our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that the difference Yom Kippur and Shabbos is that when you violate Yom Kippur B'Mezid, you're going to be Chayiv Kares. When you violate Shabbos B'Mezid, you're going to be Chayiv Misa. Bidei Adam, v'imisa, but if Rabbi Chanan ben Gamliel is correct, that anyone who's chayiv kares that gets malchus becomes potter from the kares, so idi v'idi bidei Adam hi. How can you say, zez dono bidei shemayim, that when you violate Yom Kippur, it's a chiyuv bidei shemayim? It's not. If you get malchus for it, you're potter from your kares. That's a punishment bidei Adam. In fact, this historically was an important halacha because that's why in the 500 years ago they wanted to reinstitute the smicha in Eretz Yisrael. That's why the Rabbanim in Tzfat many, many years ago in the days of the Alshich and the Beis Yosef, they reinstituted the concept of giving smicha. What we have nowadays is not really smicha. I am the director of the Rabbi Joseph E. Soloveitchik Heter Hora'a program. It's not really a smicha. We don't do smicha anymore. Smicha is Ish B'Piyish for Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnah is, wait a second, if you need Ish B'Piyish for Moshe Rabbeinu, you need an unbroken chain of Musmachim, the chain has been broken. So how are we ever going to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash? We're going to need a Sanhedrin in order to do that. So, in order to sit in the Sanhedrin, one basic requirement, whether you need to really know all 70 languages, one basic requirement is you need to have Smicha. So how are we ever going to do that? So the Rambam Pirush HaMishnah says there's another way to get Smicha. The other way to get Smicha is if you get all of the Rabbanim in the world to agree that somebody deserves smicha, they can confer smicha on that person, and once you have one musmach, so then it can spread, then he can give it to other people. So 500 years ago, after Gerush Svarad, a number of Rabbanim in Tzfat got together and they said, we are all the Rabbanim in the world, and we are therefore going to confer smicha. So the Alshich had smicha, Rav Yosef Kairo, the Beis Yosef had smicha, they had that smicha. The Rabbanim in Yerushalayim were not too thrilled about it. They said, wait, you're all the Rabbanim in the world, what about us? Why aren't we Rabbanim also in the world? How come you never consulted with us? So there were letters back and forth. It was a fascinating chapter in history. But what motivated the whole thing? Why did they need smicha? Out of nowhere, all of a sudden they're going to start to reinstitute the smicha. Why did they do that to reinstitute the smicha? So what motivated it is That's what this is for. What motivated it, the reinstitution of the smicha was that there were people who felt that they had violated averos for which they were chayav kares when they were in the times of the Inquisition, and they felt that they're going to have to suffer for the consequences of kares, which is going to be very bad for them in the afterlife. So they'd rather suffer the consequences now and become patur from kares. So they wanted malchus. There were people that were asking for malchus. Elamai, you can't have a basin that gives malchus unless you have musmachim. So they asked, can you get smicha so that we can get the malchus? So that's this din of Rabbi Chanan ben Gamliel. So the Gemara is asking, well, but wait a second. If that's true, how can our Mishnah call someone who violates the chi of kares someone who's dono bidei shemaim? It's not dono bidei shemaim. You could be chayiv, you could get malchus, and then you'll be potter from the kares. So Amar Rav Nachman, answers, it must be that our Mishnah, which assumes that a chi of kares is only bidei shemayim, is assuming like those who disagree, the Rabbi Chanan ben Gamliel, like Rabbi Yitzchak, who says that there is no malchus for chayav krisus. Did Tanya, Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, chayav krisus bechlal hayu. Chayav krisus are included in the pasuk of v'nichsu anfashos osos mikerav amam. V'lama yatsis kares bachosos. So why does the Torah have to specifically identify kares in Parshas Kedoshim when it talks about someone who marries his sister? It says v'nichrasu le'enei b'nei amam. If the Torah is telling me the chi of kares, so there's no chiddush in that, because achoso is included in all the other arayos in the Torah for which you're chayav kares. So why does the Torah have to single out achoso for kares? L'dona b'kares v'lo b'malchus. That's to tell me that when someone is bo'al achoso, he's chayav kares and not malchus. That malchus is not going to help him. And then once we have that by achoso, we learn to all other arayos as well, and all other chive krisus as well. That whenever you chayav kares, that's it. Only kares and not malchus. So it's a machlokas whether malchus helps for someone who's chayav kares. Rav Ashi says, but the better answer. I feel the same rabbanon. We could even be assuming like the rabbanon who disagree with Rabbi Yitzchak, like the Rabbi Chanan ben Gamliel, that chayav malchus works for someone who's chayav kares. Why does our Mishnah call someone who violates Yom Kippur as dono bidei shemayim? Zeh ikers dono bidei adam, v'zeh ikers dono bidei kares. Because if a person violates Yom Kippur, really the chayav is kares. Elamai, there's an out. If you get malchus, so then you're not going to be chayiv that kares. But really, the ikur chiyuv is a chiyuv kares. The ikur chiyuv is not a chiyuv of malchus, and that's why it's called zdono bidei shemayim. Okay, so now we're up to chesam and aleph at the top. So the Mishnah is going to discuss a difference between mudra ana mechavero versus mudra mimenu machal. So mudr hana mechaveru means that you have a neder that you're not going to get any hana from the other person. Mudr menumachal means that you're not going to get hana from which there is you could benefit by eating food from him. So ein bein mudr hana mechaveru lemudr menumachal. There's no real difference between the two, because if I have a neder that I'm not allowed to get machal from you, I'm also not allowed to get anything for which I can barter for machal, for which I can exchange for food, which is just about everything except for two things. Eladrisa saregel, if you allow me passage through your property, that's not something I could exchange for ma'achol. And the kelim she'enos ha'menachol nefesh. If I borrow kelim from you that are not used in food preparation, so it's not going to help me in food preparation, and the assumption is these are the types of kelim that I can't really rent out and no one's going to pay for them anyway. If I can get money for it, that's the same as getting ma'achol for it, but I can't. There's nothing to rent out, it's just a kli that's not used for achol nefesh and is not usable to rent out. So says Gemara, sounds like if it's pots and pans, it's kelim that actually help in food preparation, then even if I'm mudra mimenu machal, even if my whole neder is only that I'm not allowed to get food from you, that's still included in the neder. So drisa saregel halo kapti inshi. So says the Gemara, we said in the Mishnah that if I have it, that drisa saregel is one of the nafkaminas between mudra mimenu machal and mudra mimenu ana'a. So they asked the Gemara, but wait a second, people aren't makbid about drisa haregel. So when I take a neder that I'm not allowed to get hana from you, drisa haregel is not even included in that neder. So why, when you take a general neder hana from somebody, should a taka be asked to do drisa haregel? Hegel. Should it be usher to walk through his property? People aren't makbid about others walking through their property. Samarava Hamani Rabbi Lazar Damar Vitur Asr Bumudarana. Yet Rabbi Eliezer in fact holds that even though it's true people are not makbid about others walking through their property, even things that people are mevater on are included in a mudarana. Meaning, for example, let's say every time you go to the bakery and you buy a pound of cookies, so they always give you a 1.02 or 1.03. They throw an extra cookie in there just to be safe, to make sure that it's more than a pound. So that's vitor, the mevater on the little extra bit. So let's say I took a neder hana that I'm not going to get a hana from this from Allen's. I'm trying to lose weight and whatever. Every time I go there, my eyes get big and then my stomach gets big. So I took a neder hana. I'm not going to get any hana from them. But I never said I'm not going to buy from them. I just said I'm not going to get hana from them. Meaning I'm not going to get anything that they're going to give me for free. So I go and I buy a pound of cookies and then they throw in that extra one. So is that considered that I'm getting hana? I'm paying for it. But I'm not really paying for it. That's the vitor. That's the little bit extra. So vitor is asr b'mudrana. That's included in the isr of a neder of hana that a person is going to have. So here also drisa saregel. Even though people are not makbid about it, it's included in the neder hana. Next mishnah also relating to nedarim. Ein bein nedarim l'nedavos elisha nedarim chayv b'achriyuson nedavos einu chayv b'achriyuson. The difference between nedarim and nedavos is that if a person takes a vow b'lasho neder, so he says neder is haray a lie that I am personally accepting on myself that commitment. So then, even though I had in mind to give a particular item, a particular animal as a korban, or a particular item to tzedakah, or whatever it might be, but I said haray a lie, I took the responsibility upon myself. So if that item gets lost, I'm going to have to replace it. Whereas Nedavos is Behema Zu La'ola. I identify this animal for an Ola. So if something happens to that animal, then I don't have to replace it because the din was never on me. The din was on that particular animal. Halin Bal Ta'acher Zeviz Ashavin. Oh, but it sounds like whether you take a Neder or whether you take a Nedava, there is a violation of Bal Ta'acher if you delay in paying up your commitment. Even though the Torah does never says Bal Ta'acher Legabe Nedava. Nevertheless, apparently we can link the two and say that if there's a din of Bal Ta'acher by Nedarim, there's a din of Bal Ta'acher by Nedava as well. So Tanan Hasan, Gemara brings a Mishnah that describes explicitly what is a Neder, what is a Nedava. Ezu Neder. What is a Neder? Ha'omer Harei Olai Ola. I take a personal commitment by myself that I'm bringing an Ola. Ezu Nedava. Ha'omer Harei Zo Ola. He says, this is going to be an Ola. Uma Be Nedarim Nedavos. And what is the halachic distinction between Nedarim and Nedavos? Nedarim Mesra Nignivu Avdu. When I took a Neder and then the animal died or got stolen or got lost, Chayiv b'achriyuson, I have to replace it. But Nedavos, but if I took a Nedava, I said Hare Zu, then Meso Nignivu Avdu, if the animal died or was stolen or was lost, Einu Chayiv b'achriyuson, then I'm not responsible to replace it. Minani Mili, how do I know that Nedarim are Chayiv b'achriyuson and Nedavos are not Chayiv b'achriyuson? Titan Rabban, because the Braisa darshan's a Pasuk. Pasuk says, by a person who's makriv a korban, v'nirtza lo l'chaper alav. So Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon darshan's the Pasuk, that when is it nirtza lo, meaning when has a person fulfilled his neder? When it's l'chaper, when he brought the korban and he actually got the kapara. But prior to actually achieving the kapara, he has not accomplished his neder, and he's going to have to bring another korban in its place. Escha olav chayiv b'achriyuso. Only when it's olav, when it's harei alai, when you said that you're taking on your personal responsibility, that's when it's only at the kapara that you have absolved yourself. But v'sheinu olav enu chayiv b'achriyuso. But if you never said a lie, it was just harei zu, you never took it upon yourself, then you're not going to be chayiv b'achriyuso. My mashma, what's the mashma? Is that olav is kabbalas achrayus? Amr Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi, kivin damar alai kiman detana kasve dami. That when a person says a lie, it's as if he's holding the burden on his shoulders, meaning the chiyuv is on him until he's actually makrovit. He made it a personal chiyuv, not a chiyuv relating to that animal. There is a discussion, what about when it comes to tzedakah? The Rambam writes that tzedakah is included in nedarim. So a person says harei alai sell the tzedakah, or harei zu sell the tzedakah, he has to give it to aniyim right away, and if he does doesn't give it to Aniyim right away, he's in violation of Bal Ta'acher. So you see that someone who's chayiv to give tzedakah is the same as a chayiv neder. To say that he violates Bal Ta'acher, meaning that's apparently a violation of a neder. So some of the poskim say that Hu Adin, as far as the halacha in our Mishnah, that Nedarim you're chayiv b'achri yusan, and Nedavos you're not chayiv b'achri yusan. So the tzedakah has a din of a neder as well. If a person says, Sela Zul tzedakah, and he didn't say B'lashon Neder, he said B'lashon Nedava, so if it gets lost, he's pater from Achrayus. That's what in the Shalos Tshuvas are Ba'a Turei Evan in Simon Vav, quoted by the Tshuvas Sefer, it's quoted by the Piskei Tshuvas somewhat often, where he's asked about a person who was keeping his Maisa money around until he found Aniyim who needed the money, or until he found relatives who needed the money, and then one of his relatives said, you know, send me a certain amount of money because I'm trying to marry off my daughter, and he didn't have any cash on him, so he sent him some schora through a trustworthy shliach, and the schora got stolen along the way. So the mishaleach wanted to know is he chayiv b'achriyuso of that tzedakah or not. So the response was that if the person didn't use the money for his own purposes, the money that he designated for meiser, he sent toward the ani, and it got lost along the way. He's not chayiv b'achriyusam. And even if he purchased schora with the money to send to the poor person in order to make the money grow a little bit, in order to invest the money, he also would have been pater. He's not considered posheya by buying schora with it. So as soon as he's mafresh, he's yotzei his neder, which is and he says it's very similar to a nedava, where you say rezu, where you're einu chayiv b'achriyusam. The same is true with afresh shuvim sumaisos, where you're einu chayiv b'achriyusam. This comes up sometimes, meaning when is it that a person has fulfilled their mitzvah of their requirement of tzedakah? I mean, for example, a person is supposed to give meiser money, and you're not supposed to delay. It should be each year. You should make sure that at the end of the year that you've paid up your meiser. Let's say you're a very rich person and you have a foundation. I was just asked to Shaila. There was a guy in Los Angeles who was closing a deal, and his rabbi told me that this balabas, when he walks away from this deal, after taxes, after fees, after everything, he's bringing home $300 million. So he has $30 million of meiser money to give. Does he have to give it all this year? Or can he set up a foundation like a normal rich person does and have the foundation take care of the money? So it will all eventually get out there. But does he have to? No, you got to give it this year because you have to take care of it right away. It's like Brewster's Millions, you know, for dating myself a little bit. But that he's gonna spend. How can you possibly spend that amount of money? Google it if you don't know what I'm talking about. How can you possibly spend that amount of money that quickly? You can't do that responsibly, I don't think. So that's the shayla. Is that considered that you've taken care of the meiser money because it's in the foundation, even though it hasn't actually been given to Aniyim yet? Anyway, so that's the difference between Nedarim and Nedavos. So says the Mishnah further now. New topic. So now we move on to the halacha of a zav. Ein bein zav arosh, tei riyos l'rosh, shalosh el karban. The difference between a zav who has two riyos of ziva versus a zav who has three riyos of ziva is that he's going to be chayiv karban, meaning the level of tumah is exactly the same. Well, the only thing that changes when he sees ziva, when something flows from his body a third time, it's some sort of disease. We don't know exactly what ziva is. But when that happens a third time, the only thing that changes is he's chayiv karban. Zava is different. When a woman has flows of ziva, there are very different rules. A woman is metame only biyamim, not beri'ios ki biyamim. A woman only becomes a zava gadol if she has three consecutive days of ziva. A man, beri'ios ki biyamim. Even if all three happen on the same day or on 2 days, he's going to be a zava. But a woman only becomes a zava gadola who requires shivanakiyim if it happens three times. A man, even with just two times, already he's going to need 7 clean days. Elamai, he's only going to be chayiv karban on the third re'iyah. So anyway, so the difference between the Zav, Rosh, Tei Rios, and Shalosh Rios is only about the karban. Halin Mishkav and Moshev, it sounds like as far as the level of Tumah, Usfiras Shiva, as far as being Matami, that which he lies on, that which he sits on, and having to count Shiva Nekiyim, Zev is a Shavin, whether he sees two times or three times, he has the same halacha. So Minani Mili, how do I know that a Zav Bal Shtei Rios is the same as a Zav Bal Shalosh Rios as far as the grade of Tumah that they have? Dutan Rabban, because the Braisa tells us, Rabbi Simai Yomer, Rabbi Simai comments comments on the pasuk about ziva, mana kosuf shtayim. The pasuk mentions the lashon of zav twice. The pasuk says ish ish ki zav mi b'saro zovo tamehu. So it says twice the lashon of ziva, and it says ukro tame. It says tamehu. It calls him tame, and then shalosh ukro tame, and then it says v'zos tia tumaso bizovo rab b'saro ezovo oechtem b'saro mizovo tumaso hi. So after it mentions him three, it mentions the lashon of zov three times. It says tumaso hi haketzad. But once you're ready tame with shtei rios, how could what does the third one add? So it must be shtayim. That two re'iyos brings you fully up to the level of tumah, and the third re'iyah is just mechayiv you a karban on top of the regular level of tumah that a zav is going to have. So emar shtayim l'tumah v'lo l'karban v'sholosh l'karban v'lo l'tumah. But maybe that's not so. Maybe if you have only shtei re'iyos, yes, you become very tameh. But when you have the third re'iyah, you're only chayiv in the karban, but you don't have that tumah chamura. Maybe the tumah chamura is only for someone who sees twice. But if someone who sees three times, they don't have that level of tumah. They're only chayiv in the karban. So amrit achlo ra sholosh ra shtayim. The Gemara says that's impossible because you can't see three times unless you saw twice. So you can't say that a person, when he sees twice, is going to have the high level of tumah. And when he sees three times, there's no tumah. What do you mean? He had the tumah already from seeing twice. So that can't be. So says Gemara, okay, but another suggestion. Ve'emer shtayim l'karban v'lo l'tumah, shalosh af l'tumah. How do you know that what kicks in on the third time is the karban? Maybe what kicks in on the third time is the tumah. Maybe the karban you're chayiv right away on two times, and then when he sees a third re'iyah, that's where the tumah kicks in. Says Malo Salkadaitach, he can't have such a havamina. Zetanya, because we have a brice that describes when it talks about a zav bringing his karban, it says v'chipra lav hakoyin lefnei Hashem mizovo. So we darshan the lashon mizovo that mitzah zavin mevi'in karban, mitzah zavin ein mevi'in karban. That sometimes the zav actually brings a karban, sometimes the zav doesn't bring a karban. Haketzad, how does that break? I mean, according to what we're suggesting right now, a zav bal shtei re'iyos already brings a karban. So, but the pasuk says sometimes the zav doesn't bring a karban. So the only way to explain that is ra'a shalosh mevi shtayim eino mevi. That it must be that if you only have shtei re'iyos, you don't bring a karban. It's the third re'iyah that's mechayev a karban. No eino el ra'a shtayim mevi ra'a shalosh eino mevi. How do you know? Maybe if you see two re'iyos, you bring a karban. But if you see three re'iyos, you're not chayev in a karban. Says Mar, that can't be because I'm not shalosh ra'a shalosh ra'a shtayim, because you can't get to three without getting to two. So it can't be that you're chayev a karban for three re'iyos, for two re'iyos, but not chayev a karban for three re'iyos. And therefore, it must be as we said, that at shtei re'iyos, you're absolutely tame to the highest madrega, and with the third re'iyah, it's mechayev a karban. That's what kicks in at the third re'iyah. So now the Gemara says, why did I need two drushas to tell me the difference between a zav bal shtei re'iyos and a zav bal shalosh re'iyos? This is the Rabbi Simai. We needed the drush of Rabbi Simai, who darshens it from the fact that the Torah uses the term zav twice before saying that he's tame, and then it uses in another pasuk the term zav three times before calling him tame. V'itzrich, and I also needed the brisa that darshens from mizovo. Deimi, the Rabbi Simai. If I only would have had Rabbi Simai's drasha avamina kikushan, I would have thought like the Gemara's kasha that maybe the difference between them is that a zav b'shtei riyos is like a zav gamor only as far as carbon and not legabe tuma, and the third riyah is not mechayiv the carbon, it's mechayiv it's metame. So kamash melon mizavo. That's why I needed mizavo. That not every zav brings a carbon, and therefore it must be that a zav b'shtei riyos does not bring a carbon. Veimi zavo. And if I only would have had mizavo leyodana kamariyah, I would have known that some zavim bring a carbon, others don't, but I wouldn't have known how many times you have to see in order to bring a carbon. So kamash mal Rabbi Simai. That's why I need Rabbi Simai's drasha, where it actually counts out the number of times it says the lashon of zav. V'ashita amrit mizavo. Once I have the pasuk of mizavo l'drasha, that it's coming to tell me a drasha. So that apparently that word is whenever you see the word mizavo in the Torah, there's a drasha to be made. So there's another pasuk v'chiyitar azav mizavo my drash to be. What drasha are you going to make from that pasuk of v'chiyitar azav mizavo? So mi bayulei l'chadetanya. Now that drasha we need for the following brisa. Pasuk says v'chiyitar, and we have three drashas to make. Number one, v'chiyitar azav l'kshiyivsok mizavo. That the pasuk says that when he stops seeing a flow, so then he starts the suffer, then he starts counting. So it's telling me that the zav doesn't have to go to the mikvah before he starts counting. As soon as the flow stops, he can start counting his shivanikiyim. He doesn't need a mikvah in order to kick off the Shiva Nikiyim. And then the second drasha, Mizovo v'lo mizovo v'nigo, that he can start counting the Shiva Nikiyim as soon as he stops seeing Ziva, even if he also happens to be a Mitzvah at the same time. So he's still very, very Tameh, because he has Tumas Tzara'as. But nevertheless, as far as the Ziva is concerned, as soon as the flow stops, he can start counting the Shiva Nikiyim toward the Ziva. And then when he becomes Tzara, when he's cured from his Tzara'as, he'll be Tovel, the Tevila Rishon of the Mitzvah, and that Tevila will be Mitzvah him from Ziva as well. And then the third drasha, Mizovo V'Safar, Limin Azav Ashtereel Shetan Sfira Shiva, that even Azav will only see twice is going to require Shiva Nikiyim before he becomes Tar. So ask the Gemara on that third drasha, Vahalo Dinu, that even without a riboy, I should know that a Zav Bal Shtei Riyos requires Shiva Nikiyim, because in Mitame Mishka V'Moshav Lo Yeitam Sfir Shiva, if a Zav Bal Shtei Riyos is Tamei enough to be Mitame Mishka V'Moshav, that he's going to be Mitame, that which he lies on, that which he sits on, to become an Avatuma, of course he's going to require Shiva Nikiyim. Those are the basic rules of being a Zav. So the Gemara answers that if it's that's not necessarily a raya, because Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom Tochiach, you do have some people that are Metame Mishkav Moshav and don't require Shiva Nikiyim. What if a woman only sees Dam for one day? So if a woman sees Dam for one day, and this is not Halach L'maisa for us, we assume that the Chumrah of Rabbi Zeira, Afilu Roz Tipas Dam Kechardol Yoshua Sala Shiva Nikiyim, but that's a big Chumrah. Meaning Meikra Adin, Minat Torah, if a woman sees Dam during the Yur Alef Yom Shabbat Nidal Nida, during the days that she's eligible to become a Zava, she sees Dam for one day, she does not need Shiva Nikiyim, but she is Metame Mishkav Moshav. She Metame Mishkav Moshav Einatuna Sfira Shiva. Ve'af Atal Tatam Alzeh. She'af Al Pishem Metame Mishkav Moshav Lo Yiton Sfira Shiva. So it could be the same thing by Azav, that Azav maybe Bal Shtei Riyos is Metame Mishkav Moshav, but who says that he needs Shiva Nikiyim? So Tamalomar Mizovav Safar. That's why I need this drasha, that Mikzah Zovav Safar. That even if he had only Mikzah Zovav, he only had Shtei Riyos, he's going to require Sfira Shiva Nikiyim, Limin Al-Zav Bal Shtei Riyo Shaton Sfira Shiva. Amle Rav Papa Labai, Maishna Haimi Zovo, Demarbi Bei Zav Bal Shtei Riyo, so Maishna Haimi Zovo, Dememait Bei Zav Bal Shtei Riyo. Well, wait a second. You're telling me that every time the word Mizovo appears, you have to make a drasha. But is that drasha a riboy or is that drasha a miut? Because when the Pasuk says, V'chiyitar Azav Mizovo V'Safar, we were marbet to say that even Zav Bal Shtei Riyo requires Shiva Nikiyim. But yet when the Pasuk says, V'chiyitar Azav Mizovo, we were memai to say that a Zav Bal Shtei Riyos does not require a carbon. So on the one hand, the word Mizovo is inclusive to say that even a Zav Bal Shtei Riyos needs Shiva Nikiyim. On the other hand, it's exclusive and it's saying that he doesn't need a carbon. So which is it? Is it a riboy or is it a miut? So Amalei, so Abai said back to Rav Papa, they both should have been a miut, you're right, but from the Pasuk of Chiyit or Azav Mizovo V'Safar, you can't darshan a miut, because Yisal Kadai Dechai Lemute if it's coming to tell me a miut that a Bal Shtei Riyos does not need Shiva Nikiyim, Lishto Kramine, just don't tell me anything and I'll know he won't need Shiva Nikiyim. I never would have invented Shiva Nikiyim on my own. V'chitei ma'asya medina. Maybe you're going to say, no, I would have learned this chumra of Shiva Nikiyim about a Zav Bal Shtei Riyos from the fact that he's Metame Mishkav V'Moshav, so it must be that he needs Shiva Nikiyim. No, I never would have thought that. Shomer Siyom Kinegin Yom Tochiach. Just because you're Metame Mishkav V'Moshav, there's no reason to assume Shiva Nikiyim. Just like a Shomer Yom Keneged Yom, a woman who sees only one Re'iyah is Metame Mishkav V'Moshav and does not require Shiva Nikiyim. V'chitem, and if you're going to say you can't learn from Mizovo to require Shiva Nikiyim by Yizov Bal Shtei Riyos, because Haimi Bayile, we already need that drasha Mizovo V'lo Mizovo Minigo to tell me that the Zav does not have to be cured of his Tzaras as well in order to count the Shiva Nikiyim. Imkein Lichtov Kra V'chiyitara HaZav V'lishto, because then it could have just said V'chiyitara HaZav and left it at that. Mizovo Lomeli, why does it add that extra word mizovo, limit al zav bal shtei riyos shaton sfira shiva. So that tells me that a zav bal shtei riyos requires shiva nikiyim. So at the end of the day, if a zav sees two riyos, he's metame to the fullest extent, mishka v'moshav, and he's even going to need shiva nikiyim. What he doesn't require is a carbon. It's the third riyah that's mechayiv him in a carbon. So as we continue in the series of mishnayos, we're continuing in seder taharos now. So now we're going to discuss a little bit of maseches negayim. So negayim aren't that complicated. It's just hard to remember all of the details of negayim. Essentially, there are four types of nega. There there's Nige or Basar, there's Nige Shchinu Michva, there's Nige Nesek, and there's Nige Karachas V'Gabachas, and there are two elements to every Nega. This is a helpful way to think about it. There's the Nega itself, and then there's the Simane Tuma of the Nega, meaning a person presents with a Nega. So then, before we declare him Tame, we have to look for not just the Nega itself, that it's there, that it exists, but are there Simane Tuma of the Nega? And what makes it confusing is that each type of Nega has its own set of Simane Tuma. You're looking for different things in each Nega to declare whether the person is Tame or not. So for example, if a person has a Nega or Habasar, he has a stain on his skin, on some sort of exposed part of his skin, meaning not his head or his beard, and it's white kikrum beitza or whiter than that. That's called a baheres. If it's less than krum beitza, if it's less white than that, then it's not a nega at all. He's tar. It's called a bohak. It's just a discoloration. He's tar. So he presents with this white nega. So now you have to look for simani tuma. What are the simani tuma of white nega? Either two white hairs that are growing in the nega, or an expansion of the nega after you originally looked at it, or a michya, that in the middle of the nega there's some sort of live flesh in the middle of the nega. If a person has nige shchin or michva, which is a beheres that comes in a place where a person was wounded, either by a severe blow, by a strike, or by heat, by esh, by some sort of burn. So okay, so that's a nega. Now what am I looking for? I look for either shtei saros levanos, or I look for pisyon. So there are four types of negaim. You just have to know how to look for the different simane tuma. So now a person comes to a kohen and he has a nega saras, and the kohen sees that he has one of the simane tuma, so he's metame him right away. Meaning, if you see the nega with the simane tuma present itself, kohen doesn't have to ask any shalas. There's nothing to look at. Metame him right away. That's called a metzora muchlat. But what happens if the kohen looks and he sees that the nega is the proper size and it is a real nega? But let's say he sees that the nega is less than the proper size, it's not even a sheer kigris, or that the level of whiteness of the nega is not kikrum beit, so it's not white enough to really be a nega, so then he's tar right away, right? So those are the two extremes. A nega presents with the simani tuma, he's tame right away. A nega presents but it's too small, or a nega presents it's not white enough, he's tar right away. Now there's another situation that comes up. What if a nega presents, it's the right size, it's the right level of whiteness, but it doesn't have any of the simani tuma yet? So then the kohen is maskir him for 7 days, and that's called the metzora muskar. And then after 7 days, if one of the simani tuma shows up, then he becomes a metzora muchlat. Then we declare him an absolute metzora. If the kohen sees that it got smaller, or that the whiteness faded, then he becomes tar after that 1 week, and that's called tahar mitol chesker. He was quarantined for 7 days, and now he's tar. But if the nega stays the same, but still no simen tuma has shown up, so then he goes a second round of 7 days where we quarantine him again. The din of the second quarantine is the same as the first quarantine, except that if after the second quarantine nothing happens, no simani tuma show up, then he's tar. And that's called tahar mitol chesker, that he's declared tahar after being muskar. So now our Mishnah discusses ein bein mitzora muskar le mitzora muchlat ela priyo frima. The only difference between a mitzora who's muskar, who had to go through the quarantine period before he was declared a mitzora, versus a mitzora muchlat, someone who the kohen was metame with an absolutely. So the only difference is that a mitzora muchlat has to be parei arosho and parei begadav. He has to shred his begadim. That's a pasuk. Hatzura sharba nega begadav yufrum rosho yia perua. Whereas a mitzora muskar does not require priyo frima. Ein bein tor mitol cheske. The only difference between someone who was a mitzora that became tar after being quarantined versus someone who was tar right away tar mitol chechlet versus someone who was tar after he was a mitzora muchlat, ela teglachas v'tziparim. The only difference is the mitzora that became tar mitol chechlet has to be megaleach all of his hair, and he has to bring birds for his tara process. whereas a Metzora that became Tor Mitoch Hesker does not require Teglachas V'Tziparim for his Tara process. Halinin Shiluach V'Tumah Zev is a Shavin. Oh, but it sounds like the difference between Metzora Muskar and Muchlat is only Priya Frima, but it sounds like as far as being sent Michutz L'Machne and as far as the level of Tumah, that if they enter a house, they're Metame everything in the house, that Zev is a Shavin. Both the Metzora Muchlat and Metzora Muskar have the same din. So Minanimili, how do I know that that's true? So the Tanya of Shmuel Bar Yitzchak Hamed Ravuna V'Tiyar Okein Mispachas V'Chibes Begadav V'Taher. So the Tanya is Medayik. Why does it say Lashon of V'Taher? Sounds like he was already Tahar previously, but he has to be Tovel in order to be Tahar. So how can so it really should have said V'Yitar Lashon of in the future? So it must be that it's telling me a drasha that there's something that he's considered Metzora Muskar and he's Tahar even before he's Tovel Mipriyo Frima Demei Kara. He's tar from having to do Priyo Frima. He's not chayiv in Priyo Frima. That's the drasha. So Amalei Rava. So Rava comments Elameata. If that's the case, Gabe Zavdichse V'Chibes Begadav V'Taher. You're going to make a similar drasha. Hasam Mai V'Tar Mei Kari Iko. What sort of Tara is there that already exists by a Zav? Ela Tar Hashtu Milatamik Licharis Be'Asid. No, by when it says V'Taher, it must be that after the Tevila, he's no longer if he's Tovel, he's no longer Metame Klicheres when he moves the Klicheres. Avogav the Hadar Chazi, even though on the seventh day he sees Ziva again, Lo Metame Lemafreya. He's not going to be Metame Lemafreya, meaning the halacha is that a Zav can go to the mikvah on the seventh day. He doesn't have to wait till the seventh day is over. So what if he goes to the mikvah on the seventh day, and then later on the seventh day he has a Re'iyah again? So he's not Metame Lemafreya. So Achanami, maybe we could say the same thing. Tara Hashem Metame Biel Lemafreya. The same thing by a Mitzora, that once the Mitzora hits the seventh day and he's declared Tahar, even if later on Pasa Hanega, the Nega expands, so he's not going to be Metame with the home that he walked into in between. Elo Amar Rava Mehachas. Rava says, you're right. The real drasha must be from the following. Vatzaru Asher Bo Hanega, Misha Tzarato Tluya Begufo. Yatzeshein Tzarato Tluya Begufo El Biyamim. That you only need Priyo Frima when the Tzaras is totally on what appeared on your body. But if you also needed a quarantine period, then you're not going to require Priyo Frima, because it's not totally Talui Begufo. Amale Abaye El Meata, Kol Yimei Asher Nega Bo Yitma, Misha Tzarato Tluya Begufo Duton Shiluach, Ein Tzarato Tluya Begufo Ein Ton Shiluach. By the same token, then you should make a drasha, you shouldn't need Shiluach Chutz Min HaMachna, V'chitei Ma'achanami. And if you're going to say that he doesn't, V'akatani, Ein Be Mitzor Muskul Mitzor Mulchel El Priyo Frima, Alin Shiluach L'tumi V'biya Zav Zashavin. Apparently, it doesn't require Shiluach, even a Mitzor Muskul requires Shiluach. So Amalei, Yimei, Kol Yimei, L'Rabos Mitzor Muskul L'Shiluach. An extra reboy tells me that a Mitzor Muskul requires Shiluach. Let me just get to the Mishnah. Iyachi, Teglachas V'tzipar in my time alone. So then why does he not have to bring, why does he not have to shave and bring the birds? Teketani, Ein Bein Tor Mitocheskel, the Tor Mitocheskel, El Teglachas V'tziparim. So you see that a Tor Mitocheskel does not require Teglachas V'tziparim. Am Rabbi, Am Akra, V'yatza HaKoin, El Michutz HaMachne, V'nei Nirpa Nega Tzara'as. And then it talks about the Tziparim and the Giluach. Misha Tzaratu Tuluya Berufuos. If a person became a Metzora Mutlat where he needs to a Refua from his Tzara'as, then he needs Teglachas V'tziparim. Yotzazeh, Shein Tzaratu Tuluya Berufuos, El Biyamim. As opposed to this person, who it's not only about Refuos, it was just about a matter of waiting out the amount of days, he's not going to be Chayiv in the Teglachas V'tziparim. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up from the mission at the bottom of the page. Tomorrow, everyone have a great day.
You too, Zagazon.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you, Rabbi.